Wow, overwhelmed I am. I started preparing this last night, pushing things to the last minute. I have no idea what's going to happen here. Sometimes things just get right out of hand and I have absolutely no control over it. But it was my intention to talk about my journey to right here, right now, and the Bible, its role, the Word of God, and how it has had a profound effect in me, my life, my conversion, and how I got here. I'll just back up. A long time ago, I grew up in Raymond, Alberta, Canada. I was raised LDS. When I was little, I was a good little Mormon boy and did the primary and the Sunday school. And, you know, I can remember when I was a kid going to these Sunday school lessons and, you know, with a mind of a little boy that wanders quick, I did learn that the right answer to just about every question I was asked in that context was Jesus or God. That was always going to be the right answer to whatever question was asked. And so that's, I think there's wisdom there. I was a little bit of a rebel through high school, but I did graduate from seminary, from the LDS Early Morning Seminary program. I went on an LDS mission. I spent 2 years in the California Santa Rosa mission. Got an honorable release. And I had quite an experience. One of the most notable experiences was in Napa, California, right? Just the same town where they had that earthquake. I knocked on the door of a guy's house, and he came to the door, and he was happy to see us. Most people were like, no, we're not interested. He was happy to see us. I could see it in his smile. And we give him, we're representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we're here to share a message about Jesus with you. And he heard our spiel. He says, okay, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm a pastor at a Baptist church, and I have something to share with you. And he opened up the Bible, and he showed me things in there that I had never seen before, that I had never heard before. And he said, if you do this, you need to know what it says in the Bible. Instead of just repeating what you've been taught, you need to know what the Bible says. About the chapter headings and their footnotes or the commentaries, just read the Bible like it's the first time through, which it was. Read the Bible with new eyes instead of smooshing it into something that's not, because when the Bible ceases to make sense. And so I did. I started reading the New Testament, and I remember thinking things like, oh, that's why those Christians talk that way about being saved by grace through faith. Then I started back around and started in Genesis, and I was going to read the entire Bible so that, you know, when it came to argument's sakes, that I'd have, well, that didn't work. And it's only by faith in Him. And I'd come home and I'd go to church and I'd sit. About these programs, all these things that we need to do, and how wonderful in this social organization. But nobody talked about Jesus. Very. Read about in before that. Read the Bible, the Word of God. I did receive an honorable release. I come home. I got married. I got married in the Salt Lake City Temple. And this was prior to 1990, if that means anything to you. It was like 1988. So there have been substantial changes to the temple ceremony since then. I had two kids. I immigrated to Utah. Second child was born in Utah. My first child was born in Canada. I'm still overwhelmed. Divorced. Marriage was supposed to be an eternal thing for time and for all eternity. We were married in the Salt Lake City Temple, but divorced. That was hard to wrap my mind around. There was questions like, where's the hand of God in this eternal marriage that just fell apart? I continued to try to go to church. I was kind of an outcast. I had two small children with me, and there was nowhere for a man to change a diaper on a little boy. In these buildings, they had these ladies' rooms with facilities, and people would look at me and they would not really want to engage with me because I didn't fit this box of who a father should be. It was difficult, but you know, I didn't fit the box. I didn't fit the mold, and I understand that, and I was okay with that, but still had these questions. I'm still not hearing about it. I was still very much LDS. I read the Bible at once. I remarried. I got married to a wonderful, beautiful mother with three children. There was violence, of course. And I remember Laura getting sick. Her muscles would seize up. Her back would seize up. And the doctors were putting on medication and then more medication, then medication to kill the pain and medication to cure depression and medication from the nerve and then medication to counter the side effects of the medication. And it was this downward spiral. And I'm watching this and I'm still working out of town and come home on the weekends and my wife is a wreck. And she told me one day that I heard a voice. The voice said, flush your pills down the toilet. That's it, I'm going fishing. This is going to be bad. I watched my wife come back. I watched her get healed. Not long after that, Laura was telling the story just this morning about one of Caitlin's girlfriends invited her to church. So Caitlin would go to church. Caitlin's mom would go to church. And I'd stay at home and sulk. I'd read the Bible. I'd know what's in there. And I don't need no churching. She'd come back and she'd be healed. She'd be well and she'd be happy, and I'm still not. Well, Church is not for me. I've been there and done that. It's just way too much to do. I'm not churching at all. I'd go every once in a while, and I'd hear Pastor Pat, and this was this little white church on the end of a one-way street in American Fork. How precious is that symbolism? There's only one way. And the end of this one-way street was where I was headed, was to that little church, and I'd sit in there, and I'd hear this pastor say things that I'd read before that I didn't believe. Right out of the Bible, and I'd open up the Bible and I was going to prove him wrong. We was going to talk. That did not go well for me. Opening up the Bible to try to prove a Christian wrong, I was like going into his world. And the more I read, the more I could not prove this pastor wrong on the things that he was talking about. But I also got hungry. I got thirsty for reading this ancient book that had no relevance today. How wrong I was. As I got hungry, I read more and more. Some of the things, this is where I ran into problems in preparing what I was going to talk about last night. Where do I go from here for examples of scriptures, of passages in the Bible that had a profound effect on me? I don't need this anymore. It's no good to me. There's passages in Isaiah talk about God being God forever. He has always been God. There's passages in Hebrews where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I got my socks blown off last night looking for passages to read, and there was something that was way more profound or way more eloquent than I could ever put together. If I could just find it. So bear with me. I'm going to read from the Bible. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, that if any man preach any other gospel unto you that we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? And if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem with them who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Damascus is in Syria. There are very few Christians in Syria now. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, abode with him about 15 days. But other of the apostles I did not see, save James, the Lord's brother. Now these things I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to Syria and to Sicilia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they've glorified God in me. 14 years after that, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, but that because of false brethren unawares brought in and came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we might have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us to bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrary, when they saw that the gospel of circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, that they give to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and that they would, and they unto the circumcision. That they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. And when they were there, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. But other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away by their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live not after the manner of the Gentiles, or live after the manner of the Gentiles and not of the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews, who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, which we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again these things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? that you would not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having been begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he that therefore ministers to you in the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are the children of God, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. Excuse me. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things were written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we should receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. If it be confirmed, let no man disannul or add to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. He does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to who the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has precluded all, or the Scripture has concluded that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be received or be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, he differs not from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were under bondage of the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Daddy, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, through Christ. Howbeit then, when you know not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are not God's. But now, after that you have known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. You know how, though infirmities of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear record that, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would affect you. They would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a servant, one by a slave, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the servant was born after the flesh. But he of the bond, or the free woman, was by promise. These things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genders bondage, which is through Hagar. For this Hagar is in Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many children than she which has a husband. Excuse me. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Even now. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, though the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I do yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they which trouble you were even cut off. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I told you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against these things there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so also fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think to himself he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, except save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and be with your spirit. Amen. Wow. I can't do any better than that. We are free from the curse of the law.